Now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to know. Here's your host, Congressional Attorney Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Lots of issues to discuss this week with my friend Mike Lane. He is a Republican strategist, the president of IntelliFit Strategies. It's his job to get Republicans elected. Me, I used to work for the Democrats in Congress. It's my job to stop him. Mike, it's always good to have you here on the Inside Scoop.
Thank you for having me back, Mark. I appreciate it.
The issues today, lots to talk about. There is offshore oil drilling, the John McCain flip-flop. There is a new study on gay brains versus straight brains. It'll be interesting to see how that might affect the California referendum on marriage. Number three, the Obama flip-flop, this time on public financing. And finally, my good friend, the Constitution comes up in two different ways. One, the recent United States Supreme Court decision on habeas corpus for Guantanamo detainees, and also the new compromise on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. All of that this hour, and of course, there are your calls. Your calls are always very, very important to us, and so all you have to do to be heard is to pick up the phone and dial 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, or the local number on your screen. Mike, let's get right to it. First, offshore oil drilling. Now, I'm very confused about your candidate, John McCain. Now, okay, first he was against it, and then he's for it, but he's still against it in Alaska, but he's for it in Florida and California, but only if they vote for it in Florida or California, but it takes place 10 years from now, and frankly, there's still some 68 million acres that oil companies aren't using anyway. Did I get that right?
Except for the last part, Mark, I think you got it almost entirely 100% correct. Now, there's no doubt John McCain will tell you that he has changed his mind on offshore drilling. Why has he changed his mind on offshore drilling? It's very simple. It's called $4 a gallon gasoline. There is a trigger point by which you have to review what your positions are, and in the face of new evidence, new facts, new economic conditions, you have to review whether your long-held position is entirely accurate or not. And in this particular case, Senator McCain has decided that, no, it's time to give states the opportunity to decide whether or not they're going to permit drilling off their own coasts. They will share in the royalty revenues that come in, creating an abundance of economic incentive for the states to do so. But it will give those states the opportunity to make their own decision. It will give Americans the chance to reduce the price of gasoline, and it will give us the benefit of having much more domestically produced energy. We won't have to go to the Middle East. It'll be energy independence while we're developing those alternative fuels that somewhere down the road are actually going to get us off fossil fuels, should that be desirable.
Lots of things to take
apart. It's entirely logical.
Hang on. Let's deal with the one by one, because first of all, he's for offshore drilling but against drilling in ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Now, I don't think we should drill in either place, but please explain to me how he can have a consistent position and say that he was against both and now he's for offshore drilling, so he wants to destroy Florida's and California's beaches but not Alaska's beaches. You know, as far as I'm concerned, most of the nation would rather hang out on California and Florida's beaches than Alaska's beaches. Explain.
Well, first of all, ANWR is not even a beach.
It's in the Arctic Circle. There may be a few polar bears that hang out there. It's technically a beach.
ANWR is this just devastatingly desolate, nowhere, nothing that doesn't deserve to be preserved.
But he says don't drill there. Isn't that inconsistent?
It is inconsistent, and this is a problem. We ought to drill in ANWR, and John McCain just simply gets this one wrong. But I'm willing to let's go past that.
Look, I'm not for drilling in either place. You're for drilling in both. We'll get to that in a minute. But explain to me how John McCain, Mr. Straight Talk, supports the offshore but not the ANWR, because I didn't even hear him explain the difference. Maybe you can.
I can't explain the difference. We ought to drill in ANWR. There's no reason why we're
not
drilling
ANWR. So you agree with me, it's just crazy and inconsistent.
In fact, one of the things that you mentioned in your introduction was it'll be, by the time you first say, okay, go, till the time you have the first gallon of gasoline being pumped into your car or my car, is going to be approximately 10 years.
That's right.
Well, if 10 years ago, when the Republican Congress passed drilling in ANWR and Bill Clinton had not vetoed that, we'd have that gasoline coming online today. You would have gotten the first gallon in your tank today. I'd have got the first gallon in my tank today. Our viewers would have gotten the first gallon in their tank today. And the price of gasoline would be coming down because there would be an increased supply, and we wouldn't be in the same situation we're into now if Bill Clinton had not vetoed it.
If the price of gasoline went down, we would spend more of our money on Arab dictators and Venezuelan dictators and Russian dictators. Look, you're right. The first time it will come online is 10 years from now, when the government, and you know, as far as I understand, George Bush is still technically in control of the government. The government itself, the U.S. Energy Department, has said that 7% increase in American oil won't affect prices one iota 10 years from now. Now, they say it won't affect it at all. Here's my dream. My dream is in 10 years, we won't need oil for cars. Brazil went to sugarcane cars in merely 8 years. We have fuel cells. We have hybrids. If we stop putting all this money into oil and start putting money into alternatives, we won't need oil in 10 years. We need those incentives.
Mark, the future is going to be hydrogen. It's the fuel cells. That's where we're going to go. But it's going to be a 50-year conversion. It's not going to be a 10-year conversion. We need something to bridge that gap. In the meantime, it makes total sense to get domestic production of Illinois. The biggest fallacy out there that I hear from the Democrats, the absolute biggest fallacy, is that we can't drill our way out of this problem.
We
can drill our way out of this problem
and give more and more money to the Saudis.
No.
That's how it works.
No.
Every time the price goes up, the Saudi dictators get more, the Iranian dictators get more, the Venezuelan dictator. All our enemies own us.
Okay,
now.
Mark.
And did you know, Mike, OPEC could buy Apple Computer in a week? Based on the money we give them, they could buy General Motors in 3 days. We are selling our country to these dictators. And I'll tell you something. I like the high price of gas. I'm sorry, you heard it here first. I like the high price of gas because consumers at $4, and we're heading toward $5, are finally learning you got to get the hybrid car. You got to take the public transportation. Now, I wish we had taxed it so the money was going to United States coffers rather than Saudi dictator coffers. But no. McCain wants to reduce the gas tax.
No.
Give more money to the Saudi dictators oil companies.
What McCain wants to do is he wants to domestic producer. Look, it's been widely reported in the news recently that Cuba and China are entering a joint venture, and they are going to be drilling in the Gulf a mere 60 miles off the coast of Florida.
Well, they can't.
If China,
we have a 200-mile limit.
No,
so this is like a declaration of war here.
Sorry, dude. You know, Cuba's only 90 miles off the south coast of Florida, they will be drilling.
That's true. There is that limit near
60
Cuba.
Miles off the coast of Florida, and it makes no sense to let China and Cuba take our oil when we have a law that says we're not even allowed to do exploration to find out how much oil is out there, much less recover it and bring it in. Look,
so your point, Mike,
is safe.
It's why let Cuba destroy Florida's beaches when we can do it ourselves. We can destroy those beaches the American way.
All right.
Don't let them destroy Miami and Havana. Miamians can do it ourselves.
Mark, help me out here. If Hurricane Katrina didn't have so much as a single drop of oil spill and create any contamination on any beach anywhere in the Gulf, even though every single rig was knocked over, with the modern technology we have that's so safe, how is additional drilling going to create a problem? The only thing additional drilling will do will be to increase the supply, easing world demand, easing prices, and allowing America to have domestic energy supply, taking us off the international, some words I'm not going to use there, but taking us off the international hook for that kind of supply.
Look,
while we make the transition to fuel cell technology that's going to be a 50-year transition.
First of all,
this is the reality.
Party doesn't want to make the transition. It is your party that Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter did many things wrong, but the one thing he did right in the 1970s was he insisted that we get off our addiction to oil. And Ronald Reagan said, we need big cars, we need big oil, we don't need fuel standards. If we had done what Jimmy Carter told us to do in 78 and 79, we would be there by now.
Look,
Brazil did it in 8 years. They went from pure fuel petroleum to sugarcane in 8 years. Is Brazil more smarter than America? Are they more innovative than America?
Look, sugarcane is nowhere. That's not the solution. The solution is hydrogen.
Hydrogen. That's fine.
That's the answer. It's a 50-year transition.
But there are other things other than hydrogen in the meantime.
Look, I remember I worked in the heating and air conditioning industry back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president, okay? His solution to the crisis was, okay, everybody sit in your house and sweat in the summer and freeze and put on multiple sweaters and try and keep warm in the winter while you're shivering. This is not a solution.
We need domestic. When the price goes up, seen the studies.
Mark,
people are taking more public transportation.
I have no problem with conservation. Conservation is fine. You give economic incentives for conservation.
Good.
That's fine.
Good.
But don't tell us we can't drill our way out of this problem because we have 400 years of oil in shale in Colorado, in Montana,
great.
In Dakota.
Great.
We have 400-year
great.
Supply. We can drill our way out of this thing
Listeners,
for as
do you
long
know
as
what
you
shale your... is? You know what they're suggesting? They're suggesting we take a bunch of rocks out of the West and burn them, literally burn fire so hot that it melts rock to get a tiny little bit of oil. Think
There's
about the global warming of that
impact.
Yeah.
Rocks don't make any,
When you
know,
burn them, the rocks are sitting there. They're not on fire. You want to burn a bunch of rocks. You are that desperate for oil. You know what that does?
You know what? Canada,
you know what that does?
Canada
it just
is,
makes the Saudis richer.
Canada,
it makes the Iranians
Canada
richer.
Canada is a much more environmentally wacko country than the United States is.
Friendly.
And Canada is doing shale oil like gangbusters. I mean, their entire domestic energy program is going after the shale in Saskatchewan, Alberta, places like that. Mark, we have the oil. There's no doubt we have the oil. We absolutely can drill our way out of this in the short term. Let's give the tax money to the people of Florida, of Virginia, of California, of Washington, of Colorado, of North Dakota. Let's give them the tax money instead of these dictators over in the Middle East.
I want to get away from these dictators in the Middle East.
Then let's have domestic production.
The only way to do that
we
is
have
to
the oil.
Price is high. Tax it so the money goes to our treasury rather than the Saudi treasury. Now, John McCain and to her shame, Hillary Clinton, both wanted to end the gas tax, which would be a pure transfer of wealth to oil companies and to the Saudis.
Democrats held a press conference just last Friday, and what was their answer? Well, we ought to go to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and beg them to produce more oil.
That's what our president did.
There we go.
It is shameful.
More money going, more transfer of wealth to the energy policy. We need domestic production.
You're talking about the oil-slicked beaches that you don't think will happen.
Nope.
They didn't think the Exxon Valdez would have its problem either.
30-year-ago problem, Mark. 30-year-ago problem.
15 years ago, and they still haven't paid for the damages. But another problem with it is even if you don't have an oil spill, one of the things you do when you drill that far underground is you create toxins that are way deep underground, not bothering anyone. They come up. They're eaten by the fish or the plankton, and the bigger fish eat them. Soon, the entire fishing industries in Florida and California are in trouble. It's a very dangerous thing to do. And I'll tell you something. We already have 68 million acres that the oil companies have already leased that they're choosing not to explore right now. So don't tell me that, why do they need even more acres than they do closer to shore, closer to our fishing supplies?
Because the acres that they're exploring now do not have proven reserves in them. The exploration is going on now. You know the exploration is going on now because federal law provides that if they don't drill within a certain period of time, those leases expire. They've paid for nothing. Oil companies are not in the business to just give the government money for leases that sit there and do nothing and go away. They're doing the exploration. So far, the gist of the results is that the oil that they're looking for and the quantities they're looking for is not there.
Mike.
It may be. It may be it's like the North Sea. Remember the North Sea? They drilled 75 dry wells in the North Sea before the 76th one hit the gusher.
Dick Cheney gave a speech.
That's why we're not getting those oil.
Dick Cheney gave a speech about 2 weeks ago saying the solution to America's energy prices is more and more and more oil. You know, to me, this typifies more than anything else the difference between old-timer John McCain and someone who really wants to change this country, Barack Obama. John McCain, let's go back to fossil fuels. Let's go back to oil. No. It's worked so well for America in the past. We've had to conduct a few wars. We've had huge inflation. But it's worked really well to give all our money to Arab dictators. Obama wants change. It's he who'll get us off our addiction to foreign
oil. Wrong again. It's John McCain who's called for 49 more nuclear power plants in the United States, and the Democrats are blocking it.
Yeah, it's all about oil, isn't it?
No, it's about nuclear.
It should be wind and solar. 888-48-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Listen to smoke before you give it a try.
Only you.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Fire.
Why don't you just wash your car at home?
When I wash my car, everything runs down the street and down into the storm drains. With all the chemicals and the soaps and waxes, the last thing I want to do is poison my own drinking water.
At least here, it's all contained and recycled on site.
That's why I also take my car in for oil changes instead of doing it myself. I might take a chance on spilling stuff.
You know what the best part is?
What?
More time to kick back and watch the game.
How far would you go to protect the planet?
I want you to build an ark.
Here we go. Okay, that's good. Oh, okay. Ow! Oh.
Maybe there's another way.
People, the flood is imminent!
Is it too much to ask for a little precipitation?
Go to fightglobalwarming.com to find out what you and your community can do to reduce global warming pollution.
Somewhere around the world, there are men and women of the armed forces risking their lives, helping rebuild communities after natural disasters, collecting toys for needy children, tutoring kids in school. These are your sons and daughters who work to keep us safe, secure, and free. Dedicated men and women who put their country first.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. My guest Mike Lane and I go at it pretty hot and heavy on these issues, but that doesn't mean you can't join in. In fact, it's very easy to do. You just pick up the phone, you dial 888-488-MARK, toll free, 888-488-6275, and you can tell me that you agree with me, you agree with Mike, you can disagree with both of us. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, let us know what you think. If, like some of you do, you prefer to write your question, you don't want to join in the fray of our hot and heavy discussion, you can do that too. Go to the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Let us know what you think. We may well read some of your comments on the air. Mike, interesting article in today's Washington Post, talking about the difference between the brains of straight men and gay men and straight women and gay women. And the study seems to show even more evidence that it is a prenatal occurrence. Now, the study doesn't know whether it's genetic prenatal or environmental prenatal, but the point is that before birth, there already are some differences, according to the scientific study, between gay brains and straight brains. Let me suggest to you that California has a very big election coming in November, and the election is to overturn the California Supreme Court decision allowing gay people to marry. Let me suggest to you that the more people understand that sexual orientation is not chosen, the more they'll be willing to give gay people full and equal rights under the law.
I don't know that I can argue strongly against what you've just said, Mark. You know, the article, as you said, was fascinating. It's one more piece of a body of evidence and studies, multiple studies, that all scream for, okay, now we need more research. One of the things that, unfortunately, on this study, was that it was so small. I mean,
right,
it's 20
people. 100 brains or something like that.
Yeah, 20 on each side, right. Men, and 25 on each side, women, or vice versa. So it was 90 brains that they were doing, and you can't conclude anything on a study that small. But apparently there was enough there that they thought they could draw some very preliminary conclusions and point future studies in a direction of which to go. As far as the impact on the vote in California, I think it's going to be close anyway. As our viewers know, the situation is that the California Supreme Court has declared it unconstitutional in the state of California to prevent same-sex marriages. The state is, as of last week, pursuing it very fast, and I mean, they're setting records on the whole thing. And there's also a referendum on the ballot come November, which has already been certified because they were able to collect the signatures that quickly, that we're going to have a vote up and down, yes or no, as to whether or not the referendum will overturn the Supreme Court decision and write a new provision into the California Constitution. Will it have an impact on that particular vote? I think it will.
I think it will, too.
I think it's going to be so close that this kind of thing might be just the thing that flips.
I think it is.
You know, half a percent of the vote is that close.
I think the voters will reject the referendum. Because I think it's interesting, whenever, and I debate this issue on right-wing talk radio all the time. In fact, I was just on Lars Larson's show a couple days ago. Some people may have heard me. And he seems fixated on the idea that it's not a choice. It's very important to him that it's not a choice, because once that it is a choice in his mind. Because once you recognize that it's not a choice, then people understand, just as race isn't a choice, you can't discriminate on the basis that it's not a choice. Now, as I argued on Lars' show, even things we choose, you can't discriminate against in America. We choose our religion. You can't discriminate on the basis of religion in America, in marriage and things like that. But it seems to me that the right wing very much wants to believe it's a choice, almost against all scientific evidence, merely so they can treat gay people as second-class citizens.
Well, I would hope that we've progressed past that in this society, and there are probably some pockets where we have not.
Mostly in your party, sir.
No, I don't think so. If you if you go talk to a lot of
Pat Robertson and
no.
all ain't voting for Democrats.
Mark, it's an urban rural suburban split. It's not necessarily
right,
a party split.
I'll give you that, but at the national level, virtually everyone in your party doesn't support the right of gay people to get married. And most Democrats, interestingly, are coming around to it. They all support civil unions. I think Obama is a little scared to do it right now before an election. But I think his heart's in the right place. And, of course, it's not his role to choose at the state level. But I know he supports at the federal level repealing the Defense of Marriage Act and making it easier for people to make state-by-state decisions. I think we're heading in that direction. And your party, which saw this issue as the big issue of 2004, I think it's a loser in 2008.
Maybe not. It depends on who's more motivated by this whole thing. And, you know, I do believe that there's going to be a much more competitive California electorate for John McCain.
No, there won't.
I'll tell you why. It's not going to be
based... Californians don't want offshore drilling, to go back to our other topic.
And that's fine. And John McCain's plan allows California to make that decision. John McCain doesn't want to drill off California. He wants Californians to decide for themselves whether or not they want to share in the revenues that would be available to the state to provide, you know, money for teachers, money for firefighters, money.
First of all, as you know, you give all these tax cuts to the oil companies. They never give any money to the state government.
There will be substantial royalties. Look at
the
Alaska model.
Happen.
You know
what
happens in Alaska.
Inland people in California, those that live, you know, in Barstow and Bakersfield, they'll vote for the drilling because they don't have to live near the oily beaches. But the beach community will be against it.
Well, you know what? Then they better start importing people to the beach because it's going to be a tempting. I don't think California is going to be the first one to do it. I do think that there'll be other states who are going to do it, and it's going to be a very successful model. Somewhere down the road, California may or may not get on the train in time. We've gotten off our topic.
The last thing I want to mention about the study is it was very interesting to me. Just as interesting science, the study suggested that straight men and gay women may have better motor skills, and that straight women and gay men may use more parts of their brain. So there you go. There's something for everyone in the study.
They
check
need
it
to do
out. It's by the way, it's they, they, check out the study for yourself in the Washington Post.
They need to do a lot more on this. We're going to find out over a long period of time, as you point out. You know, the big question is, okay, is this environmental in the womb? If the study has any legitimacy to it, which we don't know yet, is it environmental in the womb or is it genetic in the womb? And,
of course, it's not the first study. Simon LeVay did some studies 15 years ago. It's simply reaffirming those.
Let me bring up the downside of this whole thing, which is that if we can start determining these things in the womb,
that's right.
Then the question is, you know, are there researches for cures?
Yeah, people do that.
So now all of a sudden we've branded it a disease now because we're going to cure it.
Well.
And the second,
it depends whether you think it's a disease or not.
And the second thing is,
if we find out that left-handed and right-handedness is genetic, which I think it probably is, people I'm sure could take some kind of cure to cure left-handedness. I don't think it's a disease at all. It's just a difference.
I think you're minimizing the difference here to compare sexual orientation to left-handed right-handedness.
In 25 years, people will see it as no different.
The second thing is, you know, if there is a cure or if there's not a cure, will there be a test? Obviously, you know, we think, and will there be an increased use of elective abortions to terminate those pregnancies?
Anything's possible
for that particular reason.
There are people that have abortions.
I find that ghoulish.
I find it ghoulish too. There are people that have abortions because they want a male child or a female child, and I find that ghoulish too. But you can't stop people's freedom to do those things. Let me move on to our third topic, if I can, because we talked about the McCain flip-flop. Let's talk about, and I'll admit it, I'll even admit it, it's an Obama flip-flop, and it's the one on public financing. He checked a box. shouldn't have checked that box, Obama. Don't check those boxes. He checked a box saying that he would not opt out of public financing, and then over time, he made a lot of money. 1.5 million donors, the largest of any presidential candidate in American history by far, and he decided he can do better without the donations. And you know what? I don't think Americans care how this is funded. I think people will understand that Obama, until the system is fixed the way I and Obama want to see it fixed, which is pure public financing, get rid of the 527s and things like that, you know, I think Obama probably made the right decision.
Mark, I'll agree with you that I don't think the American people care how it's financed. I do think they care about the breach of faith when he made a promise to the American people that he was not going to opt out of public financing. In fact, he was going to sit down with John McCain and work out the details to make public financing work. And without even a heads up to John McCain and saying, buddy, I'm not even going to have that meeting with you that I promised, he came on the Internet. And he tried to tell us in his Internet announcement on this whole thing that the reason he was doing this was because those big, bad 527s were going to beat him up.
That's right.
And they were all Republican-controlled, and he needed to defend himself somehow. When 4 years ago, the 527s were $130 million on the Democratic side and $60 million on the Republican side.
I'll tell you something.
So even the Washington Post threw up all over their editorial page when they read. No, they did. The Washington Post threw up, Mark. I mean, they just said,
I admitted to you it was a flip-flop.
We cannot stomach this.
Now, wait a minute. I admitted to you it was a flip-flop, but McCain drew the first blood. Obama said to all the Democratic-leaning 527s, he said, I want this to be a fair campaign. I want you to focus on the issues. I don't want you to go personal. I want you specifically not to support these things. He told all these Democratic donors, don't give money to 527s. They're going to go below the belt. What did John McCain say? Do what you want, people.
No.
Go right ahead.
No.
Call him a Muslim. Make up anything you want. Make up stuff about Michelle. Hands off.
Oh, please.
McCain drew the first blood, and Obama, in order to fight the 527s, had to leave the
party. You're putting your own credibility at the same risk as Obama's is at this point. I mean, I hate to see
you
do that, because you know how much I like you.
That.
I know how much you like. Look, John McCain's been telling not only 527s to butt out, but he's been telling them he was staying out of it. No, he has said generically, I wish these things would go away and not be engaged. And he specifically
told
the state Republican Party in Tennessee to cease and desist on an ad they were running. The problem is that on an independent expenditure, the candidate himself commits a felony if he gets involved in trying to influence this.
An independent expenditure, by definition,
prevents the candidate or the campaign from getting involved in that.
You're right.
It's a felony if they do.
You're absolutely right. But he could have done exactly what Obama did, and I'll give you his speech after the break. Obama told his donors, do not support the 527s. John McCain said, hands off.
No, John
at the end
McCain,
of the day,
no, John
I think you and I both agree
it.
The system is broken. We need pure public financing the way they do in England and France. We shouldn't let these 527s control the system. That's the real solution, and it's something that Obama would do, but McCain wouldn't do.
I agree the system's broken. Public financing is not the answer. We've had a 30-year experiment with public financing. It is now dead. It is a failed experiment. We have better ways of doing it.
It's failed because the money isn't high enough.
It's failed because Barack Obama just broke it.
888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Join in the debate. It's your right. Or comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
Saving for retirement might be easy for some folk, but for others, it might take a little more work. And for those who haven't started, there are still things you can do to catch up.
Oh, that is good news.
Like getting out from underneath past debt. And don't get wrapped up with high-interest credit cards.
Get you some eyes.
Be diversified with your investments. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Your financial goals are not out of reach. The choice is clear. For a happy ending, choose to save.
Everyone with alcohol and drug addiction is in the same boat. With treatment, you can find solid ground. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dude, are you sure you want this tattoo? Because...
just do it!
I
Some mistakes in life are permanent. Like hearing loss. To learn how to protect your hearing, visit ASHA.org.
You've probably heard about heart disease, but did you know that it's the number one killer of women nationwide? Heart disease claims more lives each year than breast cancer, lung cancer, or strokes combined. But there are steps you can take to protect yourself against it. For more information on how you can prevent heart disease, contact your local American Heart Association or visit their website at www.americanheart.org.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney for the Democrats. I am debating the issues of the day with Mike Lane, the chairman or president or whatever you call it of Intellifence Strategies. It's his job to get Republicans elected. It's my job to stop him. And it's your job to call in and let us know what you think about these issues. It's easy to do. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Mike, I want to move on, but just on the last issue that we were discussing on public financing, I want to read you an article from Newsweek, and it says that at a meeting in Indianapolis, top Obama fundraisers asked his campaign donors to refrain from contributing to liberal independent political organizations in hopes of controlling the tone and message of the general election campaign. So Obama and his fundraisers, are telling donors across the board, don't support the 527s. In contrast, McCain has adopted a hands-off stance, telling the Boston Herald earlier this month that, quote, he can't be a referee of every spot run on television, unquote. Why can't John McCain call his dogs off the same way Obama has done?
Mark, I'll find another quote in another publication. We're looking at Newsweek here, which is, you know, the House organ for the Democratic National Committee.
Oh, give me a break.
I'll find you another quote, and it'll say that, you know, he's basically just said, I wish these people would not be involved. I wish they'd go away. Words to that effect.
Why aren't McCain fundraisers telling their campaign donors, publicly and privately, I mean, we at least monitor the public stuff, don't contribute to 527s, we don't want a swift vote election, we want an election on the issues. Obama's done it, he's playing fair, why can't McCain?
McCain is playing fair. McCain has said he doesn't want these organizations to exist. McCain has said he wants them to go away. He says he doesn't want them to be players. I mean, why are his fundraisers not doing it? Because the candidate himself is saying he doesn't think these people have a place in American politics. How much more clear can he be?
How much
more clear can he be?
Don't do it. Fundraisers, do it. No. Don't do it. Fundraisers. At least Obama's fundraisers are as consistent as the candidate. McCain, hands-off approach.
All right. You know what? As I said, last time against Kerry versus Bush, it was $130 million for the Democratic 527s and $60 million for the Republican 527s.
And you know what the difference was?
George Soros was a big part of the difference.
The Democratic fundraisers focused on issues. They focused on Social Security. They focused on environment. They focused on issues. The Republican fundraisers, they did a smear campaign. They attacked John Kerry's service, a man that won, I don't remember how many Purple Hearts and Silver Crosses. I believe
the record reflected that he nominated himself for 4 Purple Hearts.
I think he won 4 Purple Hearts. I don't remember how many there was, but there were enough medals that this was a man who truly had courage under fire. You know, Obama respects John McCain's service. The Republicans didn't give that same respect to John Kerry.
No one questions whether or not, in an ad, no one questioned whether or not John Kerry had won those Purple Hearts fair
and square. They questioned whether he deserved his medals ads.
They questioned other parts of his record, which were questionable. And essentially,
not the swift boat liars.
Essentially, the big thing about the swift boats was, okay, how come John Kerry served with all these people in the swift boats, and he can't find more than one who supports him, and all the others support this person who, you know, who don't even know?
See, that was a lie. That was a lie because every single person on his boat, save one, did support him. So again,
okay, he had 3.
My question is, what dirty tricks is your party doing again? You plan to use Barack Hussein Obama's middle name a lot? You plan to insinuate he's a Muslim? You plan to attack his preacher? You know, what dirty tricks are in store?
You know,
this
let me ask you this: was it appropriate just yesterday, or even this morning? Yesterday, I think it was. Obama's out there giving a speech, and he says, "Oh, you're going to hear all kinds of bad things." He's much more articulate than I am. You're going to hear that I'm inexperienced. You're going to hear that I don't have judgment. And, oh, yeah, you're going to hear that I'm black. The only person who has brought race into this contest so far is Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Geraldine Ferraro, and now Barack Obama himself.
And Karl
Karl Rove is not brought race in. Why is Barack Obama bringing race into this whole thing when he's supposed to be the post-racial candidate, and here he is playing the race card?
Because
you're going to hear
Fox
them tell you that I am black.
Because Fox News, the Republican organ controlled by Roger Ailes, former chairman of the Republican Party, and Rupert Murdoch, who's trying to influence all the media.
A Hillary Clinton supporter, I might add, Rupert Murdoch.
Rush Limbaugh was a Hillary Clinton supporter.
No, Rupert Murdoch is a real Hillary Clinton supporter.
In any case, you know what they're trying to do. They're trying, they show all the pictures of Jeremiah Wright, even after Obama distanced himself from him. They are trying to raise this as an issue. And the thing is,
I think Jeremiah Wright is an issue.
Jeremiah
Wright is an issue. Notwithstanding John McCain trying to say it's not an issue.
It's angry
Jeremiah
black
Wright.
That's what it's about.
Has to do with Obama's judgment. How could he sit in that pew for 20 years and associate himself with this man and say that he was his spiritual advisor if this is the kind of man he was? It's about Obama's judgment.
I'll tell you something. Obama has already said he didn't hear the really crazy quote by Wright about AIDS. I mean, he didn't hear that until the campaign. But the other stuff, the part that, you know, America's foreign policy can come back to bite us. Wright said it in angry terms. Some of that is actually very similar to what Martin Luther King said, talked about the United States doing bad things abroad and it coming back to bite us. Really, with the exception of the tone, and I agree it wasn't a very favorable tone of Jeremiah Wright, the kinds of things he's saying, you can't even argue with. Can you deny that we have bad foreign policy and it comes back to bite us from time to time?
I will deny that, but then I assume that you have no problem with any clips of Jeremiah Wright being used in the campaign, because then you think that Obama had good judgment to associate himself with this man for 20 years. He had good judgment to ask him to be the godfather of his children.
Then, of course, we can play Pastor Hagee, because even though John McCain has completely distanced himself from John Hagee, he sought out Hagee's endorsement. He wasn't just a member of his church who apparently you think has to agree with everything that the guy says. He sought out his endorsement. He flip-flopped on Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, just like he flip-flopped on the Confederate flag. John McCain, at least, was pandering. Obama, his wife's church. He went to church. It wasn't that big a deal.
Look, it's all fair game. If you want to use it, go ahead. There's no defense against what that relationship was. You had me as a guest on your program. In the in-between, when McCain got the Hagee endorsement and before he then subsequently tossed him under the bus, McCain ought to toss this guy under the bus.
I will give you credit for that. Mike Lane did say throw him under the bus, and within 2 weeks, John McCain did. If only John McCain listened to your other advice, he'd probably be better off.
Oh, well.
Let me take out my good friend here.
The Constitution is coming, I can tell.
That I keep in my pocket every show. I should tell you this.
The Supreme Court needs this, by the way, because they clearly don't understand it at all.
I'll tell you something. It's a little secret. My crew has a little pool as to how many times I'm going to pull this out. The secret is known, and if you want to bet on it, contact my crew. But the Supreme Court upheld this document to my shock and surprise. This is the same Supreme Court that chose Bush to be president when Florida voters chose Gore. They decided to uphold the right of habeas corpus. I was shocked. I was surprised. I was pleased. It has to do with a certain provision in the Constitution that you and I have argued before. Remember the time that you libeled Abraham Lincoln? Remember the time when you said...
I don't remember that.
I'm going to remind you, Mike.
Do we have a clip?
We do. After the break, I will play the clip. How do you like that? There was a time when you libeled Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, no, I noted that he suspended habeas corpus.
You said he did it illegally. He suspended habeas corpus.
Did I say illegally?
Well, we'll go back. We'll play the clip.
Okay.
We'll play the clip. You said, need I remind you that Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus, but
he did
it according to the law.
In times of rebellion and insurrection.
Very good. I think I surprised you then, but you know it now. I taught you something. We all remember now Article 1, Section 9 of my favorite document, the United States Constitution, saying the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless, when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. The Civil War was a rebellion. As awful as the murders of September 11 were, there was no invasion, there was no occupation. The people who, if they invaded America, they were all dead seconds after they did so, those awful people. We didn't have a standing army. We didn't have a problem with our courts functioning. Habeas corpus, this writ that dates back to the Magna Carta, this is the foundation of our rights, Anglo-American jurisprudence. And your president, George W. Bush, willingly said, habeas corpus, habeas corpus. We'll put them into Guantanamo Bay, even though we control everything about Guantanamo Bay, and we'll do it specifically to get around this law. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't. No more manipulation. We all know who controls Guantanamo Bay. We all know you have a permanent lease there, the United States does.
99 this is, year this,
I don't think it's 99 years.
I think it's 99 years.
I don't think it is. We'll check it out.
It matters not. No,
you know what? I don't think it is because we invaded Cuba in 1898, Spanish-American War, and they got their independence in 1903. If it were 99 years, it'd be out by now.
Probably was renewed sometime.
Not by Castro.
It matters not. It's a minor point.
We'll check it.
Not by Castro. By Batista. He was our guy.
You think he renewed it in 50 years into it? Because Castro's been there a long time.
Maybe.
I don't think it's 99 years. We'll look that up too, folks. Yeah, we look at all these things. But at the end of the day, the United States was in complete control of that. He was doing it purposely to try to avoid the American courts, and he didn't succeed. The Supreme Court said, you know what? Habeas corpus. Right here. Don't suspend it.
You're exactly right, Mark. And you know what? If I had been the President of the United States, I would have been very, very, very tempted. Probably wouldn't have done it because it doesn't play
because
that well.
Because it breaks the Constitution.
But I would have been tempted to say something along the lines of, paraphrasing President Jackson, well, Mr. Kennedy has made his decision, now let's see him enforce it. This was probably the worst decision that the Supreme Court has made in my recollection, with the possible competition of Roe Wade or something like that.
How about Dred Scott upholding slavery? Is that what
I said? I said in my time.
Are you going around? You're not that old?
I'm not as old as Dred Scott, but Dred Scott was pretty dreadful.
Yes, it was.
Anyway.
John McCain called it one of the worst decisions in the history of the nation.
The long arm of the Constitution always used to end at the water's edge. And last I checked, the United States water's edge ended either in Florida, 90 miles away from Cuba, or if you want to go down to Puerto Rico, you can make an argument there, but I think that's even further away from Cuba. These people are getting 90 miles of telling them that they're in the United States. The United States Constitution absolutely does not extend to them.
Great, we have this wonderful, lawless territory. This is great. When the president is absolute dictator, and he can just grab people anywhere in the world and bring them to his lawless dictator land, and there he can torture them, he can hold them at will, he can string them up on trees, take innocent people. The president is dictator of Guantanamo Bay any laws. Is that your position?
No, I'm going to ask you a question. As you know, I spent 21 years in the Marine Corps.
I do know that. I respect your service.
And I was in the infantry for a while. And I did a lot. I mean, I never had the opportunity to put it to test in a real environment, thank the Lord. But I trained for it. And we had many times when the bad guys were on that hill, and we were going to go take that hill. And they were in control of that hill, and we were not. And at the end of the exercise, we were in control of the hill, and we took 20, 30, 50 prisoners of war. According to the Supreme Court decision, these people are now entitled to constitutional protections because we were in de facto control, full control, every part of that hill we controlled, and yet here we have them in our custody. So you're telling me I gotta read these people Miranda rights now?
I thought the Spanish-American War was over. Maybe there's some Spaniards still fighting it. I thought it was done in 1898, and we weren't still contesting Guantanamo Bay. Are you telling me there are secret Spaniards hiding in Cuba?
No.
They're 120 years old, and they're still fighting us? Because if they're not, it's no longer a war zone.
Right.
I understand war zones. I get that. I respect that. Mike, let me be clear. If you're in a war zone and you've got a battlefield, you can't be giving someone habeas corpus the minute you take them prisoner.
The Supreme Court thinks differently.
The Supreme Court said habeas corpus on the battlefield doesn't make sense. They specifically discount that in the opinion. It's right there. I'll show it to you after the break.
But Guantanamo Bay was not a battleground.
Guantanamo Bay is supposedly this. Is it really this lawless land? I want to understand.
No, it's a
secure
base.
What laws apply to Guantanamo Bay? When is the president
military military
over
law
Guantanamo
applies
Bay?
To military law applies to
so
Guantanamo Bay.
So in your
Bay.
View, the President of the United States and his military can go anywhere in the world, pick up anyone in the world, innocent or guilty, any non-American, throw them in Guantanamo Bay and keep them there for life? That's your view?
No. If you pick someone up off a combat battlefield, which these detainees were picked up.
Some of them were from Bosnia.
They were picked up off a combat battlefield in a combat zone. Yes, we can hold them till the end of hostilities without giving them anything.
And if the war on terror lasts forever, I guess we hold them forever.
They shouldn't have been picked up in a war zone.
Sounds to me a lot like 1984.
They should not be trying to kill us.
888-48-MARK. They're not. They're innocent. 888-48-6275. Back after this.
I need a job.
Necesito trabajo.
I would like to speak English better.
Me gustaría hablar inglés mejor.
I want to be a U.S. citizen.
Quisiera ser ciudadano de los Estados Unidos.
For over 35 years.
Por más de 35 años.
The Hispanic Committee of Virginia has been serving our community.
El Comité Hispano de Virginia ha estado sirviendo a nuestra comunidad.
Job training and placement.
Capacitación, ayuda para conseguir trabajo.
Education for children and adults.
Educación para niños y adultos.
Immigration, naturalization, and medical referrals.
Ayuda para los procesos de inmigración y naturalización y orientación sobre médicos.
Are a small part of what we do.
Son solo una pequeña parte de lo que hacemos.
For help, information, or to volunteer.
Para ayuda, información, o para ofrecerse como voluntario.
Contact the Hispanic Committee of Virginia.
Comuníquese con el Comité Hispano de Virginia.
Helping everyone participate more fully in American society.
Ayudando a todos a participar plenamente en la sociedad norteamericana.
Would you notice if you were missing half your kidney function? According to the National Kidney Foundation, 20 million people have chronic kidney disease, and 20 million more may be at risk and not even know it. Anyone with high blood pressure, diabetes, or family history of chronic kidney disease is at risk. Early diagnosis is vitally important. To get the whole story, talk to your doctor and visit the National Kidney Foundation at kidney.org or call for a free brochure. Because when it comes to chronic kidney disease, you might not know the half of it.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
It was a case that John McCain called one of the worst in American history. I guess John McCain thinks that's equivalent to Dred Scott upholding slavery. I guess he thinks it's equivalent to, the Korematsu case that said that Americans could pick up Americans of Japanese heritage and put them in camps for 5 years. I don't know what John McCain meant, but he was referring to Boumediene v. Bush. We could show you can look it up yourself. We could show Boumediene v. Bush on the screen there. This was a decision by the United States Supreme Court to uphold the right of habeas corpus at Guantanamo Bay. Now, Mike said before the break that he thought it was a 99-year lease. We've looked it up. Mike is wrong. It turns out there was a lease in 03, there was another lease in 06, and then the most recent lease was signed in 1934. The agreement states, quote, until the two contracting parties agree to the modification or abrogation of the stipulations of the agreement in regard to the lease, then the stipulations shall continue in effect. In other words, it means that unless Cuba and the United States mutually agree to change the situation in Guantanamo Bay, it's in American possession forever.
Forever, until we decide that it's no longer useful to us.
Right. Until America decides to give it up, right. Which I think is unlikely. I just don't see any president, Democrat or Republican, giving up Guantanamo Bay.
No, I do, actually. As soon as the Castro regime falls, when Raul is deposed and when they have freely elected government and stuff like that,
you know what? I doubt it.
I think we'd be perfectly happy with it.
I doubt it, because they have freely elected governments in Japan and Germany, and we still have military bases.
But we're there at the invitation of Japan and Germany. They want us there.
I'm sure the new Cuban government, if it's installed by the United States, would love to have us there in Guantanamo Bay.
Or even if it's freely elected, they may or may not love to have us in Guantanamo, but we'll go along with what they say. We're just not going to let Castro, pretend that he's in charge.
Here's the point, Mike. It is an open-ended commitment. Unless the United States decides otherwise, the United States is on that bay for perpetuity. And if this decision had not been rendered, this decision that you and John McCain think is one of the worst in American history, if it had not been rendered, there would be an area of the world under complete control of the President of the United States with absolutely no law to stop him. He could take innocent people and throw them in Guantanamo Bay for life. Now, I will grant you.
No.
I will grant you. We only had a few seconds when we went out. I do want to correct the record. I will grant you that I do believe there are many guilty, dangerous people in Guantanamo Bay. I do. I also think there are many innocent people in Guantanamo Bay. And I think the right way to find out who's guilty and who's innocent is to use
this old document again, the Constitution of the United States, and have a trial and have witnesses. And the government proves its point, and if they prove these are evil, murderous terrorists, off with their heads. Death penalty. I have no problem with that, but they got to prove it first.
And we'll bring them right here to the Fourth Circuit, and we'll do it in the Northern District in Virginia.
Fine.
And they'll turn it into a circus the same way Zarqawi turned it in. Like that trial with Zarqawi was, you know, he made a mockery of the United States.
How did he make a mockery of the United States?
Oh, he sat there and just, you know, told us he was not going to subject himself to United States laws, that, you know, he didn't recognize the United States.
I think you're talking about Massawi.
Massawi.
And he was convicted.
But he didn't get convicted until he had about 10 weeks of the press to himself and his ability to get his...
That's our system.
No.
That's America.
That's not our system. You're right, Mark. America.
They have show trials in the Soviet Union and in East Germany. I'm sure Saddam Hussein never allowed free trials and press for the other side. In our country, we show the evidence. This is the evidence against him. This is the evidence that he's innocent. He clearly was guilty. The jury convicted. And we even have, in the United States, we have the possibility of a trial with classified evidence. You can even have that. Did you know that? You can have the lawyer for the defense, who is a patriotic American who passes all the top secret security clearances. They can find out the evidence, the classified evidence, and then they can use it to defend their client without giving the terrorist the evidence. So this is a way to protect his rights,
and at the same time
protect classified
information.
And
that worked out real well for us with that attorney up in New Jersey who was representing the blind sheik, didn't it?
If you're telling me we shouldn't have given a top secret security clearance to this or that person, then maybe we shouldn't have.
I'm telling you, if someone
discloses classified information,
they're a spy,
they should be punished, just like Dick Cheney should be punished for disclosing Valerie Plame Wilson.
I'm telling you that the attorney that was selected to defend the blind sheik in New York was a collaborator, that she used the classified information, she turned it against us.
So you're saying she committed treason?
I'm saying she was a very bad person who deserves to be in jail the rest of her life and perhaps even facing the death penalty.
You have a trial. You prove it before a court of law. You prove it before a jury.
You find her
guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I'd like to give Dick Cheney a trial. He can have lawyers.
Okay.
He can have representation. But after outing a CIA agent, he needs to go to jail.
He's proven and convicted. And he's entitled to all the protections of the Constitution
because he's
an American. But the people that we're talking about are not Americans. The alleged crimes did not take place in America. The alleged that they've never been in America. The long arm of the Constitution has never draped over them.
So Guantanamo Bay, in your view, is a little fiefdom of the president, where he's king and he controls everything, and you can do anything you want there. Can you torture people there?
Military law applies there.
Can you torture people there?
Military law applies there. No, you can't torture people there. Military law applies there.
Military law. The president says, I can torture people.
No,
that's what he did.
The president did not. Nobody has been tortured at Guantanamo.
Because you don't define these things as torture.
Nobody has been tortured at Guantanamo.
Yeah, we send them out in without any sleep. We do water torture. We just don't call it water torture. We call it water friendliness.
Please.
I don't know what we call it.
Sleep deprivation is a time-honored tradition of interrogation.
Of torture.
No, it's interrogation, Mark. It is not torture. Nobody at Guantanamo...
How about stress positions? How about holding someone's arm behind their back in a painful position for days on end? How about the choreographing that was chosen by Cheney and all the others to decide exactly how these people would be mistreated? That's torture.
No. There was no mistreatment at Guantanamo.
We'll never find out because these people aren't allowed trials.
Let me
go to the phones. I got Jeff from Shreveport holding on a long time. Jeff, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Doing good.
Hey, I want to ask your Republican fascist guy there a question here.
Go right ahead.
I'm ready for you, Jeff. Come on.
Go ahead.
Okay, now, you were saying that this Republican guy had rights because he was an American. What about Jose Padilla?
Great question. Jose Padilla, there's Yasser Hamdi, two American citizens. Jose Padilla was captured in Chicago, and the president said, I can just ship him to Guantanamo Bay and I'll never have any rights.
Right. I think we just lost Jeff. Maybe he's still, I don't know. The answer, Jeff, is I think Jose Padilla is in a category by himself. He is not a guy that was taken off a battlefield in Afghanistan or in Baghdad or any place else in Iraq. Jose Padilla is a guy where I would have made a different decision. I think the court...
So the president violated the Constitution, Mike, in regards to Jose Padilla?
I think in the Padilla case, the court got it right. It's one of the few that they got right. I think that it's very clear that in this particular case that we're talking about now, the court not only got it wrong, they got it so dead wrong that it's just, it's a pathetic
decision. Wait, I want to get this quote on the record.
There's no grounding in anything.
I want to get this concession here. You're saying that in the case of Jose Padilla, the great question that Jeff from Shreveport asked, you're saying the President of the United States, George W. Bush, violated this document, the Constitution of the United States, right? We agree on this.
No, no, I said I think the court got it right.
Which means the President of the United States violated the Constitution in detaining an American citizen on American soil forever without trial or an attorney.
Mark, you know, you've always got a situation where you've got two interpretations of what's going on. You're a lawyer, you know this. You wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have our system if we didn't have adversarialist point of view. You have two points of view. The administration had a point of view. Padilla's attorneys had a point of view. They litigated it in front of the court. The court decided in Padilla's favor. In my personal opinion, I think the court made the right decision in Padilla's case. I think they've made the dead wrong, absolutely ludicrous, no grounding in the Constitution, no grounding in anything decision in the case we're talking about, Gitmo.
You know, foolish decision. There was a time Republicans called themselves strict constructionists. There was a time when Republicans respected the word of this
document
in the Constitution.
It does not apply to foreign countries.
Today, it's so gray. Well, you know, the president...
It's not gray. It doesn't apply.
...said he didn't have to follow the...
No, it's not gray. It doesn't apply.
Padilla's lawyer said the president had to follow the Constitution, but the president said, American citizen, I can lock them up at will. I have all the powers of an East German dictator. Who's right? Who's wrong? In this case, the president's wrong. He's not an East German dictator. What happened to the strict language of the law? What happened to Republicans saying the president is wrong? He violated the Constitution. He needs to be punished.
There is no gray area, Mark. In this case, the court got it so dead wrong. I don't even know what Constitution they were reading.
Well, first of all,
you know how they can extend constitutional protections to non-American illegal enemy combatants taken off the battlefield in Iraq and Afghanistan
and
never came to the United States and are sitting in a military prison not on United States soil. This stretch of the Constitution by saying, oh, well, we understand it's not America, but, you know, it's
but
de
we
facto
own it forever.
America.
Look,
we don't
we own
it for
the
America.
Land for,
we're leasing it.
We own the land for as long as we want.
The court
understood that there cannot be this safe island, this safe planet, this safe area where the president is his own king, where the president is beyond the law. The president chose Guantanamo Bay because he thought he could be beyond the Constitution, but got a message for George W. Bush. He took an oath to uphold this document. And it doesn't mean they can go to some bay where America has for the rest of their life, where there's no danger, where there are no Cuban citizens involved, and say, oh, I'm in control here. No one gets to apply this document to me.
We will agree to disagree on that. I think you have another thing you want to
raise. One last thing. We do have about a minute left. And I haven't had a chance to mention this since Tim Russert died. I want to say this. I watched a lot of Tim Russert on Meet the Press. And one thing that I think he always did is he held people to account. He would show them the text, just as I've shown Mike the Constitution. He would talk, just as we talked about Obama and McCain, who both flip-flopped, he would hold them to account. I think he did it in an honorable way and an honest way. Sometimes I wish he'd been a little more strong. I wish he'd actually been a little bit stronger in the run-up to the war. But overall, I can't think of a single person in mainstream television that was good as an interviewer as Tim Russert. And I just wanted to say that in memoriam to him, one of the best there is.
Mark, the best there was. He revolutionized Sunday morning talk shows. It became around him what it was. He was incredibly fair. He gave both sides equal things. Republicans had no problem with Tim Russert because he was fair. You know, the best thing you can say about him was his sign-off. If it was Sunday, it must be Meet the Press, and it was.
I'll tell you this, there's going to be big shoes to fill, and I would hope that we have more Tim Russert-like people in the mainstream press. We need them. For Mark Levine and for my friend Mike Lane, this is The Inside Scoop.